This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. Coming up on the show, we welcome our very special guest, Leibel Sternbach. He's here. Joe McKenzie also stops in. He's talking careers with you this week. Cassie Crandall has lifestyle information. I'll even share some just-for-fun information this week. And our words to the wise. All this and more this week on New Beginnings. And joining us now is Kitty Harris, who is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Kitty, it's always wonderful to talk with you. How are things going this morning?
Good morning, Freddie. Things are going amazing, and it's always a pleasure to be here with you as well.
You're really back up in full swing or almost there. Also understand that you've got a really big event that really encompasses the entire community.
Absolutely. So we are excited to finally over at Cora McCorvey start to offer some more of our community programs again. And so we have been hosting the second Monday of every month. We have been hosting our Sing Out in conjunction with Alive and Kickin'. And so we are excited to bring back our signature event, which is called Neighbors Night Out. It's a VIP event, and it's going to be held on Thursday, June 9th. And what makes this event so exciting is that we take this time once a year to gather the community. And we kind of go on what I would call a senior field trip.
A senior field trip.
So what that entails is Alive and Kickin', which is our on-site partner, they host for this community to come out to see a preview of their annual show. So this year's theme is called Life is a Cabaret. And this special invitation is only for this community. And so we go out. They provide buses for us to take the community out to their venue, and we go out and we just have a night of food, dancing, singing, storytelling, and it's just truly an amazing experience.
Everybody, we're talking with Kitty Harris, a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Tell folks about Alive and Kickin' for those who don't know who they are by now.
So for those who don't know, Alive and Kickin' is a senior rock group that's housed at Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. You have to be 62 or and up to be a member of the group. And they go out throughout the Twin Cities and they perform at different venues, singing various genres of music from Michael Jackson to Queen to Whitney Houston and everything in between. And so they infuse music with storytelling to just honor the seniors that are part of their cast. And so every year they give a free concert for this community. We haven't been able to do it since COVID, so we're very excited. This is the first time that we're able to bring this concert back and go out and just have an amazing time. And so these tickets are limited. So I do want to make sure that I say that the tickets are limited. So people do need to call and reserve their free tickets by Thursday, June the 3rd with me. And once we reach our number, unfortunately, we will not be able to accommodate any more people.
Interesting. So what is that number to attend the event that's happening June 3rd?
So in order to, the event's going to be on Thursday, June 9th. And
I'm
in
sorry,
order
June
to
9th.
Attend, people need to call 212-344-2209. We will have buses that will load from Cora McCorvey at 4:30 on June 9th. And so that's why it's important for people to call, to register with me so that I can put their names down, see if they need the free transportation that is provided, so that they know to be here on time. Because we do leave and go out so that we can get our program started, because we have a welcome party, we have a senior fair, we have food, we do all of this before we have a fabulous show.
Are there health protocols that will be in place for that particular event?
There's not any specific health requirements. Of course, Live and Kickin' the cast, they are still under their COVID protocols as they're practicing and going out through the community, but we don't have any specific screening things put in place at this time. So right now, the only requirement is that people need to give me a call at 612-344-2209 and reserve their seat for Thursday, June 9th. And we'll be leaving here at 4:30 and going out on our wonderful senior field trip to have a fabulous night.
All right. A night out with Alive and Kickin'. Kitty Harris, I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning. And how can we get more information about all the activities at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center?
I encourage people to visit our Facebook page and look under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, or they can give our front desk a call at 612-344-2221.
That's Giddy Harris, and this is New Beginnings.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Let's turn our attention now to lifestyle. I've got Cassie Crandall standing by with three things.
Thank you, Freddie. Yes, this is Cassie Crandall with my three things. Thing number one this week, Steven Tyler from the band Aerosmith. What a guy. Clearly an icon in the music industry, and I give him so much credit for how hard he has worked all these years on his sobriety and for how long he's been sober. Unfortunately, I did read a post today that posted by Aerosmith and Steven Tyler that he had some foot surgery, and in the process of recovering from the foot surgery, he realized that he was having a relapse, treating pain that happens to a lot of people, getting addicted to painkillers. So I totally get that, and I give Steven Tyler a lot of credit for, on his own, admitting himself into a rehab program. So Aerosmith has had to postpone the start dates for their residency in Las Vegas, but they will be back. So way to go, Steven Tyler. You can do it. Did it for all those years. You can do it again. Thing number two this week, well, it's been a tough week. The tragedy in Texas with the school shooting and many children and a few adults murdered. Clearly a tragedy in Texas and for our entire country. What do we say to our young children, to our grandchildren, when they ask about things they hear or they see it on the news? How do we explain it? There is no explanation. There's certainly no good explanation. It just is. And unfortunately, it seems to be becoming part of American life. But I turned to Mr. Rogers, who said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.' And that is so true today. Think of all those first responders that went into that building, got many people out of the school building, but also they had to go through and see the devastation, the horror of what had just occurred. But look to the helpers. They're there to help. They're there to guide us. And first responders need our support and care too. They have a really tough job. So I don't have the words to tell my young children or my future grandchildren. I don't have the words at all to explain something like this. But as Mr. Rogers said, that his mother told him, look to the helpers. Maybe if we look more at how we can help, how we can be supportive, maybe it'll help us heal a little bit. All right, let's end on a happy note. Thing number three, I survived the college tour with my 17-year-old son. Wow, it was a ton of walking, as predicted. And uphill, downhill, upstairs, downstairs, wow. This girl with arthritic knees and a problem foot, it was tough for me, but I made it through. Kudos to those college tour leaders that have Energizer Bunny energy and spunk, and they are so inspiring and perfect for leading tours and at their school and filled with so much spirit, and really appreciate them. Anyway, college tour, survived. Long weekend road trip with my son was fantastic. Great mother-son time. And that is all. Those were my three things. I'm Cassie Crandall for New Beginnings.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
Do you coast along in life for a while to be free of responsibility? Power and potential, that's our point of focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
By coasting, you might find temporary relief from seeming demands, but you've got to do more than coast to develop your full potential. Right now, choose to exercise power and potential. Just as surely as exercising your physical body and developing your muscles makes you strong, so does exercising your mental power and your mental potential. Use your power to enable you to become a better, wiser, healthier, and even more prosperous person than you were before. When you use your power and potential, you experience true growth through using all that you have to bring to the table. Power and potential, our point of focus. If you'd like to learn more, I'd welcome the chance to speak to your organization. To learn how, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us now is our career expert, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He turns candidates into contenders under the umbrella of Ripple Connects. And you can find him online at rippleconnects.com or by phone at 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you?
I'm well, and we're finally getting into the summer. This weekend is really nice and warm. And that's our topic today, bursting into your summer job search. What is the idea behind the topic this week, Joe McKenzie?
Well, let's face it, as Minnesotans, we've been waiting for this weather for how long? 6 months. And now here we are, the summer. We're outside. We're enjoying it. We're doing a lot of different activities we can't do through the rest of the year. But that doesn't stop us from having a summer job search. And I'm not saying that you take the whole summer and nose to the grindstone, look for a job. What I'm saying is be intentional about, don't take the summer off, but also approach it a little differently, because summer's a great opportunity for you to kind of get that downtime, that creative downtime, or the ability to get away. And I've often said it's better to look for a job more informally, having creative downtime, not sitting in front of a computer 9 to 5, but being outside in nature, being with friends, being with your community, because the creative part of what comes out of that, being outside, being engaged, can also bring new ideas, new reimagined careers. And that's, I think this might be our fifth year in a row, Freddie, we've talked about burst into the summer job search. And that's really job search activities followed by long periods of creative downtime, which, believe me, enjoy the Minnesota summers. They're some of the best in the world, but now's the time to enjoy them. But it also can really enhance your job search.
It's really interesting, everyone. We're talking with Joe McKenzie from Ripple Connects. We're talking about bursting into your summer job search. This idea really flies into the face of those who say, well, especially if you don't have meaningful employment right now, that you should approach your job search just as if it is a job, 8 hours, hard nose every day, 40 hours a week, and this is quite a bit different.
It is, and I take a very unconventional approach to this, and I know there, I have my critics, but I also know that some of your best ideas come to you when you're talking to someone else, when you're outside in nature, when you're actually relaxed and reflecting and reimagining your career and who you've met and what you've done. What would you like to do? as opposed to sitting in front of a screen, staring at some of the social media job boards or social media platforms is not going to give you that creative downtime. In fact, it actually adds stress to your job search because you don't see anything moving in an instant. Well, let's play into the nice weather. Let's play into the ability to get together with others. And you never know, Freddie. You could be sitting on a dock in northern Minnesota and think about someone that you haven't reconnected with in a long time, or some project you worked on years ago that you found very rewarding, that you want more of. All those things happen with that creative downtime. Humans work in bursts of energy, bursts of activity. And why not capture that and be at your best by capturing those job search activities, followed by long periods of creative downtime?
We're talking about bursts of energy during your creative job search. And so what do you do during that downtime? You talked about maybe sitting by the lake. So are you saying devoid your mind of all activities when it comes to your job search, or what do you do with that downtime?
Well, you have time. You have bursts of creative or job search activity. You know, going online, updating your resume, going on LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera. But what I'm saying is, give ample time to reflect. Give ample time to think about your career in its bigger picture, and see where you can go with that. And that's what the creative downtime is going to allow you to do. I would journal. I might write down some idea. I might write down someone I want to reconnect with. That would be that creative downtime. Just reflect. Pull back from the busyness of your life. And even if you're looking at making a career change because your current job is not as fulfilling as it once was, think about that during that time. It could be a walk around a lake. It could be just having a cup of coffee with someone in a relaxed setting where these new ideas, you're basically, Freddie, introducing new ideas, new thoughts, new strategies to your job search. And you may not always get that if you're sitting at a computer by yourself.
It's interesting. I can remember traveling across the country. And at one point, my wife was driving, and I pulled out just a sheet of paper, and I just started writing down some ideas. And it's really interesting. Those ideas really helped me in my career and became the real force behind success or not having success. So when you mentioned journaling, that brought up the idea. Is that the focus of what you're thinking about, just opening your mind to those creative processes?
Yes, I believe that is a good step. It worked for you because that obviously you had a chance to kind of ruminate on it, think about it, introduce new ideas and thinking it through. And journaling it allowed you, when you got back to your normal life, to act upon it. It worked for you. It works for a lot of people. Some of the best ideas I've had are not in front of a computer screen or in an office. They're outside when I get a chance to slow down, reflect, and think about where I want to go.
Everybody, Joe McKenzie with us this weekend. We're talking about bursting into your job search career. So how much time are you, I'm a time fanatic in the fact that I'm in broadcasting. So when you're talking about, I mentioned earlier that it used to be you spend 40 hours, especially if you're not employed. So how much time do we devote to downtime? How much time do we devote to that active job search? Can we quantify it that way, or should it be just open-ended?
I think we focus on the bursty of our job search. So you might be more efficient by sending all emails in the morning. You may be more creative in the afternoon. So spend that time walking outside. Don't look at the clock as much as your productivity within those bursts of energy. That's where I would focus on, because if you're at your best returning emails at 5 a.m. and you get those all up for the day, that's as productive. You know, that's a productive point in your day. If it's applying for jobs or updating your LinkedIn or doing some networking via phone or in person, kind of group those activities together. That brings that efficiency, but it also allows for creative downtime. And that's because humans do work in bursts of energy in different activities. Capture that, embrace that, but know that your reward is going to be some meaningful downtime.
It's interesting. You sent a note over that said, reimagine your career and write down what your career looks like. That's really a mental forecasting.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You think about where you've been, where you want to go, and then you start, because of that creative downtime, Freddie, now some steps start to, granular steps to come out of that. Oh, I think I want to go over here. I thought about this person I haven't thought about in a long time, or this company, or this organization, or this mission, what have you. That is because you're given some time, your thought, your mind's at ease, but it's also very in tune with where you want to go. And it's because you've removed yourself from the busyness of your everyday life.
It's interesting. You have some research to back up that this idea of burst of energy.
I do. And I do a lot of reading, and there's an author out there that wrote the book Burst, and the author is Albert Laszlo Barabasi. And he, because everything is time stamped now, you know, from emails to text and everything, he could study that big data. And it is true. People work in bursts of energy or activities. And I just took it to say, hey, if you're more effective working in bursts of job search activities, and your reward is creative downtime, and we know that creative job searches can really help someone move forward in their career, let's combine the two.
That makes a lot of sense. So what are the three points we should remember, our takeaways from this week, Joe McKenzie?
Well, we've talked about them already. Give ample time to reflect. Be very intentional about your downtime, mm-hmm. and start thinking about it. But then to your point, write it down. Write down your thoughts, even if it's a word, a phrase, a person, a company, a book, a resource, a website. Write it down so you can act upon it at some point down the road. But also, I think the summer allows you to do some reading for both enrichment and enjoyment. Reading stimulates those ideas. Getting updated on an industry or a challenge that an industry has gets you closer in tune with what your transferable skills may lend to that problem. So read for both enjoyment and enrichment. And that also allows you to kind of enjoy the outdoors, but also puts your mind at ease, and those creative juices start to come about when you read and you're relaxing and so forth. Those would be the three areas I would focus on in regards to bursting into your summer job search.
We'll certainly focus on those. And Joe McKenzie, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings. It's time for It Happened This Week. You may have heard that the CDC has given the green light for the Pfizer COVID booster shot for kids ages 5 to 11. The panel voted 11-1 in favor of a booster for this age group. The CDC director has signed off on the panel's recommendation, meaning kids have now been getting needles in their arms for the past few days. This happens as the nation is recording 100,000 new COVID cases every day. The CDC is again also suggesting using masks indoors. President Biden also touched down in South Korea. He met with a leader there and a tour of the Samsung Electronics campus, similar to what's being built in Texas. His five-day trip to Asia also includes signing a $40 billion bill to help Ukraine fight Russia. Now that the evidence phase in the Buffalo grocery store massacre is over, U.S. Attorney Trini Ross says the Justice Department is on top of the case. Peyton Gendron allegedly killed 10 people at the Tops grocery store in what's being called a racially motivated attack against black people. He appeared in Buffalo County Court and is charged with first-degree murder. And the effort continues to bring an Olympic gold medalist home. The United States is negotiating to free basketball star Brittany Griner. It's possible she could be exchanged for an arms dealer after being arrested 3 months ago. Monkeypox is confirmed in the United States. The Massachusetts Department of Public Health and the CDC confirmed the first known case in the United States a few days ago. The Massachusetts man with the virus recently traveled to Canada. Health officials say he is hospitalized and in good condition, while noticing his case poses no risk to the public. This comes after several rare and unusual monkeypox cases were detected in the UK. Monkeypox symptoms include fever, headache, and fatigue, and muscle aches. Those inoculated against smallpox should be safe. And former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick is getting an honorary college degree. HBCU Morgan State University says it's honoring the former San Francisco 49er during his spring commencement ceremony. He is set to receive degrees honoring his social justice work. In a statement, Morgan State President David Wilson says the school is honoring those who bravely stood and kneeled for the betterment and advancement of the voiceless, the marginalized, and the disenfranchised. It happened this week. And I'm Freddie Bell.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Leibel Sternbach.
He's Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. He's an accredited portfolio management advisor, an enrolled agent with the IRS. He's a National Social Security Association Advisor Certificate holder and a Chartered Financial Consultant, a CFC, through the College of Financial Services. And he has passed his Series 65 and is a life and annuity licenses holder. And there's a lot more I can say about Leibel. And again, welcome. I am indeed in the presence of greatness.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
Let's talk about elder abuse and dating scams. We have friends with AARP who all talk about the different types of elder abuse and dating scams. What are your thoughts on the prevalence of these crimes in retirement communities? And is it more that we're looking at it, or are these types of instances on the rise?
We are definitely seeing a massive increase in financial crimes. And I would say definitely, I don't have data specifically, but I think that there's been a significant increase or a disproportionate increase for retirees just because they're the most vulnerable. Over COVID, it was like, you know, everyone started working from home, and the hackers and scammers just came out of the woodworks and, you know, went at it.
So more time on their hands to do more dastardly deeds?
That's certainly one way of putting it. I mean, they completely ramped up the efforts they were putting out and the level of sophistication of the types of scams that they're doing. It used to be, you know, pretty easy to spot a scam. You know, you'd get those emails saying, you know, I'm a prince from Nigeria and I need help. And everyone knew they were a scam. But lately, the emails that I've been seeing make me second guess whether they are legitimate or not. And the social engineering and the steps they take to prove that they're real is incredible.
Everybody, we're talking with Leibel Sternbach today, and we're talking about elder abuse and dating scams. So what do you think is the best way, Leibel, to protect yourself from becoming a victim of elder abuse or dating scams?
It is a really good question. What's the best way to protect yourself? I think that it's the same thing that you would do in anything in life, right? It's you got to always ask yourself the question, does this actually make sense? Is what I'm doing, you know, if it doesn't smell right, it doesn't feel right, then it probably isn't right. And you got to double check yourself and make sure that what you're doing is 100% correct. And I think that one of the easiest ways just to kind of, you know, check yourself and know, like, you know, hey, is this legit or not, is just ask somebody else. If you keep, you know, the people who are close to you, you just keep them in the loop when you're doing something like this, or when you develop a new relationship with someone, and especially if they start asking for money or they ask you to start doing favors for them, right? Just talk about it with family. Talk about it with your advisors. Talk about it with your accountant. Because in talking about it with other people, either you're going to realize that what you're saying doesn't sound right, or you're going to see in their reactions that they're going to be like, this is not okay. This is not normal behavior. And it's easy to get caught up in the kind of the emotional construct and the whole little world that these scammers create for you. So you need to, the easiest way to not get caught up in a scam is to allow the outside world in.
Bible, what advice, if any, would you give to someone who is considering dating online?
So I have lots of great things to say for dating online. I met my wife online.
Okay.
Yeah. And she actually rejected me on one website and said yes on another one. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for online dating. I think that what you want to be careful, is you want to try to meet in person. And I know there's a lot of virtual romances, and especially, you know, if you're homebound, you don't have family around, you know, these scammers, they will get into your life. And that's not to say that there aren't legitimate, you know, people out there who will, you know, who will speak to you over the phone and they'll develop, you know, relationships that way. But what you want to do is try to take it to the next step. The more physical contact you can have with them, the less likely they are to be a scam. So that means, you know, doing like a Zoom meeting and having those meetings with someone else present, right? When someone is trying to pull the wool over your eyes, it's easy to do it to one person when they control everything that you know about them. But it's very difficult to do that when there's two people there and one of the people involved does not have an emotional attachment to the relationship. They don't have an incentive to say, yes, this is legitimate, right? And I just want to be clear. These are very legitimate relationships, these dating scams. They're very legitimate relationships. They will develop loving relationships with you. They will make you feel cared for and loved for and listened and heard in ways that your family probably isn't providing for you at that time, which is why they have this opportunity. But at the end of the day, they want something out of you. It is not a true love relationship where it's you're both trying to support each other. It's a one-way street where their love is conditional on you doing things for them.
Very interesting. So you said it's a one-way street. So is that a typical red flag? And if it is, what are some of the others that people should look for when they're dating or talking with someone online?
Yeah, and I just want to give the disclaimer here, right? I'm not a therapist. I'm not a social worker. I'm not a relationship counselor. But in my experience, and at least my understanding, that if you have a relationship where someone is, you know, constantly putting demands on you and they're not being respectful of your needs and your boundaries, that's an unhealthy relationship. So whether that's online or not, right, that should be a red flag to you when you say no and the response from the other person is, well, find a way, or you don't love me, and they try to manipulate you. And it doesn't feel like manipulation. They'll create a very needy situation. But the second that you start objecting to doing something, they're going to ramp up the pressure and they're going to threaten to leave, threaten to take away their love, right? Love is not based on I give you something, therefore you give me something. It's if you actually genuinely care about the person, you're going to want the best for them, right? Regardless of what that means for you, obviously in a healthy context. So a red flag is where it's a very dominating relationship, a very one-way street where they want things, and if they don't get it, they escalate. That's a red flag. Another red flag is if they try to isolate you from your family. That's something very common that they'll do. And again, right, we're talking, there's usually a legitimate reason for that to happen. You're fighting with your daughters, you're fighting with your kids, right? You're going through something with your spouse and you start talking to somebody online and it starts out, you know, nice and fun and they're supporting you and they're taking your side in whatever situation you're dealing with. and it feels like, oh, I finally found an ally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then 2 weeks into the relationship, or it might even be 2 months into the relationship, something happens in their world and they need you to do something. And it's like, yeah, of course, you've been here for me for 2 months. I'm going to do something for you, except that thing that they ask you to do is going to be financial in nature, or it's going to be something that seems innocent, but isn't. So one of the very common schemes is what's called a money mule, or a, you know, romance mule, where they will build a relationship, and then they'll say, you know, hey, I'm getting a package delivered. I can't have it delivered to my house. It's going to get delivered to your house. And I just need you to go to the bank and deposit it. Or I just need you to ship it out to the right place because they sent it to the wrong place. And it seems innocent, right? Like, oh, yeah, it's just a mistake, right? You know, and just a mistake and I'll take care of it. But it's not just a mistake. They're having you be part of their chain in money laundering. And that's how they're evading the authorities. A real friend isn't going to accidentally send you a package. They're not going to ask you to deposit money for them in the bank. They're not going to be stuck internationally without any access to money, but somehow they have access to internet and phone to call you, right? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Interesting. You know, I had an interesting situation where a long lost cousin of mine contacted me. He had all the right information. The only thing that was different is that he said he lived in Florida, of all places. And apparently he had taken the information from my cousin, and he was purporting or holding himself out liable as my cousin. And then, as you mentioned, a couple of months in, he asked me for $50. And then it was $300. Now, on neither occasion did I give him any money. But is this something that you're seeing? And how do you know? I mean, it was quite a bit of detail that this individual had. How can you separate the people who have this kind of information and make sure that you're protecting yourself?
So there are a lot of, basically everything about you is available online. Right. It just is. If you know where to look, I can get your social security number. I can get your bank account numbers. I can get your credit card numbers. There literally is nothing about you that's truly private. Right. And that's, you know, so it can't in authenticating these people. Right. In saying, yes, you are legitimately my cousin. Right. It's going to be very hard for you if you haven't had, you know, consistent regular contact with them to be able to say you're my cousin and not a scammer pretending to be my cousin. Because if you think about the information that you would use to say, yes, this is my cousin versus this is not my cousin, most of it everyone has access to, right? Or they can find it with enough digging. Now, the really scary ones, right? And these people are insanely good at this, the social engineering, where I don't know if you've ever been to like a Vegas magic show where
yes.
They've got like these mentalists on there and they're like, you know, this is your card. Right. And, you know, and on the board, we had written what you wrote down just now. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, how are they doing that? The key to most of those tricks is that they get you to give them the information beforehand. You don't realize that you're giving them the information. They write it down, and then they just appear to be one step ahead of you. And it's because of the way that they're presenting the information to you that our brain just kind of, you know, goes, oh, the story that they're saying makes sense. But the story that they're making us think is the story is not the story that's actually happening. And so, really, right, the only way to separate these people is to try to do things that can't be faked, right? So Zoom, right? If you're talking over the phone, right, say, let's jump on a Zoom, right? And it's not just you, let there be someone else in the room, right? Because you are going to be excited about meeting this person who you love, who you've developed a relationship with, who, you know, you actually have a legitimate relationship with this person, and you jump on a Zoom. And do it with someone else who does not have a relationship with them, right? Your spouse, your child, right? Your grandkid even. Because that person who doesn't have the emotional attachment will be able to spot all the little cues that we would ordinarily pick up, that if some random stranger walked up to us in the train station and started saying these things to us, we pick up that this is not normal, right? Because whether it's they keep tripping over things, or when they say, you know, they try sharing a piece of information and we correct them that they're wrong, and then they'll make us think that they originally said the correct piece of information. And so us, because we're in a relationship, will overlook that fact. But our kid, our spouse, or the person who we have who's not in a relationship with that person is going to spot it. And they're going to see a whole bunch of those as red flags.
Got it.
They're going to be able to spot that. And it's really, you need someone who has perspective, and you need to acknowledge that when you're in love, right, we're blind. Love is blind. And these people are insanely good at getting us to fall in love with them, getting us to push away the people we love so that there's no one else around us to tell us that this is wrong. And then they're going to pull out every piece of information from us possible so that it seems like they've known us forever.
Thank you, Libel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Libel's website is libelonfire.com. That's libelonfire.com. And more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
A special thanks to all of our guests this week. And this was on the top of my desk, and I thought I'd share it with you just for fun. Here are some ways to be a bad restaurant customer. You ask for separate checks after you finished your meal. You have a $50 gift certificate and a $100 check. The waiter deducts the gift certificate from your total, and you only tip the waiter on the remaining $50. Not so good. Before ordering, you spend so much time on your phone, you take up more time at the table, and you praise your server up and down, but leave only 7%. This is the dreaded verbal tip. And yes, it's a known fact that men do, in fact, hog the television remote. And science is proving what women already know. Men hog the television remote. Researchers conducted a study into the television viewing habits and found that men always seize control of the remote regardless of whether they are planning to change the channel or not. The research also shows that even when a woman was watching a program that she wanted to watch, the man had to hang on to the remote, even though he wasn't going to flip the channel. And can you guess? Each day you inhale about 700,000 what? The answer is flakes of your own skin. Ugh. And America's favorite burger chain in 2022? Well, a new survey has discovered that our favorite burger chain this year is Culver's. It scored highest among American burger chains in terms of customer satisfaction. The survey analyzed more than 23 million customers from Google, Facebook, TripAdvisor, and Yelp in order to find burger chains excelling in categories like food quality and flavor, staff demeanor, timeliness, value, price, and loyalty. From my Just for Fun desk on New Beginnings. And now it's time to hear from my friends at Unity South Twin Cities, located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington, Minnesota. They have two services at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. The Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. Let's join them now for a program already in progress, a lesson entitled An Elegant Sufficiency.
Don't wait for one day when you're smarter, richer, more beautiful, trimmer. Quit waiting. Be what you can be in the moment in which you find yourself. I like an old story about the woman who told the minister after the Sunday service. She said, "This church is going to be so well provided for when my ship comes in." And the minister said, "Oh, when did you set sail?" She had this idea that someday all this good was going to come in. And the minister brought her right back to the moment. "Carol, when did you set sail?" The second point, give up excuses. Give up excuses. Sooner or later you will come to realize that it's not what you lose on the way that counts. It's what you do with what you still have. It's what you do in the moment. We all can do something. A famous minister in the 19th century said, "We all can't do everything, but each one of us can do something." We can't do everything, but we can do something. And we live in a time in our world where it's overwhelming the needs, what people are living through in Ukraine. And if you try in your mind to solve that whole problem, what happens? You give up. "I can't deal with this." But if you think in the moment, "What can I do in this moment? I can envision peace. I can take an action of contributing to their welfare through numerous charitable agencies." You can't solve the whole problem, but you can do something. Imagine if about 2.5 billion people on this planet decided all at once, "I can do something." And they all did it. It would be like Jesus feeding the multitude. The help and the assistance that would pour in for those people that are without shelter, without adequate food. We can all do something. Dr. Emily Cady, author of Unity's Lessons in Truth, wrote, "Can you not see that this indwelling God, this indwelling power, is your holiness, your insight, and your health, your life and vitality, is not also your sustenance and support, truly the daily bread for whatever you need?" Keeping our attention that God is, as she called it, our all-sufficiency. Well, let's go for a moment into the silence so that we each have an opportunity to reflect on this idea of enough. Not enough for next year, not enough for even next month, but enough for right now. So I invite you to close your eyes, relax into the presence of Spirit. You may feel it within as the beautiful rhythm of your breathing. Just relax into that rhythm of life that is sustaining you. And consider, what am I grateful for right now, this very day? What is enough for me this hour? Now consider, how can I use this blessing, this enoughness, this provision in the moment? How can I use it? How can I allow it to flow through me? How can I share it? How is it multiplied? God, you give us our daily bread. What is that daily bread for me now? In the coming hour, be grateful. Be aware of it. Share it. Let it work through you. It is truly enough.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Thank you so much for being with us this week. And did you know that on this holiday weekend, it is National Hamburger Day? It ramps up National Burger Month and also ushers in the summer grilling season. Hamburger, seasoned ground beef, grilled and placed between two slices of bread or bun. We even top them with sauteed onions, peppers, pickles, sliced onions, or cheese. Add condiments such as ketchup, mustard, or mayo. Any of these combinations create a modern American version of a hamburger. And did you know that the world's largest burger was prepared on September 2nd, 2012? Yes, in Carlton, Minnesota, by Black Bear Casino Resort, and weighed 2,014 pounds. There's a lot of controversy surrounding the origin of the hamburger. However, it most likely first appeared in the 19th or the early 20th centuries. And over the years, the hamburger has become a culinary icon in the United States. And here are today's words to the wise: dreams can become reality. Today's words to the wise: dreams can become reality. If you'd like to learn more, Freddie Bell or Amazon.com. That's our show this week, and a very special thanks to the Reverend James Stacy from Unity South Twin Cities, Joe McKenzie for coming in and talking careers with us, and finance from Leibel Sternbach, and of course you. It wouldn't be a program without you being there each week. If you'd like to learn more, visit my website, freddiebell.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your week. And remember that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Have a great weekend. Goodbye, everybody.